meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline. Loveline. Coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Carmen Electra is our guest tonight. Carmen, always good to see Carmen. Drew and Carmen have a bond, almost a father-daughter...
Sibling
bond. Yeah, right.
I love talking to Dr. Drew when I come in. Because he's just so good. You know, he's a doctor, so...
Yeah.
All those questions you have for your friends, you can just throw them at Dr. Drew.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I'm sure he loves that.
For your friend. your friends meaning your vagina and breasts,
what?
Right? That's what you're talking about.
You know, you had too much time on Stern this morning.
What?
It affected you.
I know. I'm
not
disgusting.
That you're tired. Yeah. You're
well, no, I'm tired too. But Carmen and Drew. Carmen is a soul that is probably your person has been through a lot.
Absolutely.
In your life, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
And you're a survivor.
I am. And, I could say that.
Yeah, and you know, I think people never really. I mean, one good thing about this job, actually, I don't know if it's good, but you get to understand that. There's sort of people behind the name, the makeup,
sure,
the face,
course.
And all that. And Carmen, speaking of that, by the way, Tom Arnold's coming in tomorrow night. That's a little too much person behind the face.
Mm.
Yeah, he's believe me, you got nothing compared to Tom Arnold.
I read his book.
Really?
It's an impressive life.
Oh. Well, what's impressive about being molested by your babysitter?
Oh, I'm the crazy mom and the brother and dad. Oh, just tons of stuff went on.
But is it impressive when chaos goes on around you?
It's impressive that he can still laugh about it.
Really?
My favorite part about the book, I saw a galley of it. There was punctuation and spelling corrections every sentence.
Oh, really?
I wish they'd just leave it like that. It's hysterical.
You think, who spells worse, me or Tom Arnold?
You.
Okay, good. Yeah. Glad I'm still the king. And Carmen, still doing battle bots on Comedy Central. Do you have any interest at all in those battle bots?
Actually,
honestly,
at first I really didn't. I mean, I had no idea what it was, and I sat down and watched the tapes, and... It's interesting. I mean, these guys, these guys spend their entire lives in the garage building these bots. It's my dad's favorite show.
Yeah, I love
doing it for good old dad.
I love that Ziggo and Son of Waiachi.
Oh, that's right.
You know the beauty of women, though. If a guy can spend his entire life focusing on nothing but the guitar, and a woman will be all over his ass.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if he spends his whole life focusing on something mechanical...
Oh, forget it.
Hit me. Nerd City. Nerd City. What is that? What's so different about it? What's so much more impressive about the Dave Navarro playing the guitar and the Son of Waiachi or Ziggo? They're both good accomplishments.
Right.
You can make an art. I mean, you see that Ziggo. Drew, you don't watch anything on TV.
I've seen BattleBots.
This Ziggo is very impressive. I love that Ziggo. And isn't that equally as impressive? I mean, here's what I'm saying. If you're going to, like, worship at the altar of Dave Navarro, shouldn't Ziggo or Son of Waiachi, shouldn't they be in the middle somewhere? They're undateable, those guys.
They're minus four stars.
That's right. Yeah. Why? What's on? Why do you girls punish achievement this way? Mechanical achievement is punished by women.
You know, Dave Navarro is a sexy guy. He's a sweet guy. You know, he's a good person.
Well, what about
Son of Waiachi, you know, is just a robot.
You're telling me the creator of Vlad the Impaler is not an attractive man? I
You really do watch the show, don't you?
I love that goddamn show. I love that BattleBots. People mashing into each other.
Mm-hmm.
When's the new season starting?
It's tonight at 10 o'clock, which right now.
Oh,
so,
oh my God, Adam, you're
right? Missing it.
Oh, Tebow.
Holy old nerds. Wow. I didn't even know. Is the first one of the new season?
The first one of the new season. Yeah.
You know how it turned out, too.
I sure do. Yeah.
During the break.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I don't want to know.
Did you TiVo it?
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. No, I don't mean just tonight's bouts. Carmen knows how the entire season of bouts. She knows who won BattleBots.
I see.
And the thing is for me, I'm like a pregnant mother that doesn't want to know the sex of her child. You know what I mean? I don't want to know if what's in my belly is Ziggo, Son of Wachi, or Vlad, or any of these things. Or Vlad the Impaler.
So. Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
You confused me there.
But did Ziggo do okay?
I can't tell. Okay. Yeah, you'll have to watch.
She doesn't know which one's it.
Exactly. I don't remember.
Ziggo's the spinning one. He named it after his dead cat.
Ziggo's hot.
Oh, I got to get that gig.
Yeah.
Stuff my bra. Stand by the exit. So, are you disappointed you lost? That'd be a good gig for me. All right, so Carmen's also got a bunch of movies coming out. Get Over It with Kirsten Dunst and...
Wait, that was...
Oh, I don't
know.
That's
old.
That's an old movie?
It came out a year ago.
Yeah, I saw it. It was delightful.
Yeah.
Did Whacked come out?
No, that's an independent film that I don't know if it'll ever come out, to be quite honest. That may be straight to video, that one.
What about Naked Movie, The Guest, Rent Control?
The Guest is coming out, I believe, October, November. That's with Tara Reid and Ashton Kutcher.
How's that Dave Navarro doing?
He's doing really good.
Are you guys engaged?
Yeah, we're engaged.
Jesus, it seems too long.
It does.
Does it seem a little too healthy?
Like,
yeah.
Like we're actually like taking our time. You know, we're not like going to Vegas and doing it.
Yeah,
it's kind of interesting.
The engagement seems like it's too thought out, too careful, too careful, too calculated, and the fact that you guys are together still is shocking.
It's pretty shocking, isn't it?
Yeah, because you guys seem like both very passionate people, but then it's like you go up like a Roman candle. It's like all this love, all this passion, and then it just extinguishes itself.
You know what? It's unbelievable. We've been together now for a year and 9 months, and I can honestly say there's more passion now than there was when I first met him.
Same with me and Drew.
You're right.
More passion.
More than ever.
All right. Well, God bless you. And tell Dave to come in here.
Please. Definitely.
We always enjoy talking to him. John?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Oh, hello?
Hello.
Oh, hey, what's up?
Hey.
Hey, I got problems. I think my girlfriend may be a gold digger.
What does that mean, when you're 15?
15. Well, it means that she's taking me for all my money.
Well, at 15, I imagine he's got a lot to give. So.
Oh yeah, he's got a moped, he's got a retainer.
Oh boy,
he's got video games.
What are we talking about here? What does this mean?
Well, anyway, I recently got a job at McDonald's towards the beginning of the summer. That's where I got most of my income from.
Yeah.
And my boss has been giving me pretty steady hours. Blah 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 blah.
Right.
Anyway, she was training Susie, my girlfriend. She's been training me in there.
Fizzy.
Susie. Hold on a second. Hold on. I got to evaluate this. Now, I'm in a bad mood tonight because I was up.
No kidding.
I was up all night. But shut up. Would you?
That's
you don't
all right.
Know anything about
You'll be
bad
fine.
Mood.
You'll be all right.
But he's 15. He works at McDonald's. He's calling his girlfriend a gold digger. Is he serious? Do you think he's serious about this?
He thinks she is using his money. Yeah.
What money?
He was just about to tell us.
Whatever he makes, she spends. Is that the way it's going to go?
Yeah, even if it's not much, she spends it.
I just want to...
Okay, all right.
John?
My phone is running out of batteries. Hold on, I ain't going to have to switch the phone.
All right. You see? See, it's good that I take those little breaks.
Yes.
And run everyone's battery out. All right, should we put him on hold and talk to someone else?
Yes.
And then we'll get back to him. I'm very interested in the gold digging part. And I, at 15, worked at McDonald's, by the way. Brandon?
Fan of Carmen's here.
Brandon?
Yeah?
13?
Yes.
You like Carmen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Showing the world. What's up?
Nothing much. Just watching Half-Baked.
Good. That's a very, very positive movie for a 13-year-old.
Are you really 13?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds really young.
I'm not young.
Yeah.
You're not?
I'm sick.
You're sick.
Oh, you're sick?
That's what you sound like when you're sick, Adam.
The cold.
Yeah,
I sound like Vern Troyer when I'm sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I don't think his nads have dropped yet, Drew. Brandon?
Yeah.
So you like Carmen?
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to say anything to her?
Yeah, I was wondering, do you like acting or modeling better?
I actually like both a lot, but I started to take acting classes after, like, I did everything, like, backwards, you know. I ended up getting jobs, and then I just recently started taking acting classes. So I'm really into acting now. I love it.
Yeah. Modeling seems sort of, like, it might get boring. I mean, except for the booze and the coke and those crazy fags
running around.
It's hard
to think of new poses after a while. Like, haven't I done this one before?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's what happened with me. And that's when I knew it was time to step off the runway. And that's when you know, run out of poses.
Mm-hmm.
I did the watch one. I did the one where I checked my watch, you know, all at the end.
The other where you work on your sleeve.
I did the check the watch. Yeah, I did the cuff.
Oh,
I did the
boy.
Cuff tug. Cuff tug was mine. The watch one, I don't know who that wasn't mine. I'll be up front with you, but I made it mine. And I did the, hey, what's over? What's over there on the horizon? Look, you know, as sort of hand, you know, right hand on the hip, left hand pointing to, you know, I called it the tally-ho. That caught on.
Tally-ho.
A lot of guys still doing that. I even did, one where I checked some plans and looked up.
Oh,
that was a nice move. Yeah. I'd go out there.
The blueprint move.
I'd roll out some blueprints. I'd look down at them and then look up and freeze, you know.
Oh, great.
As if I was standing on the plot of land that I was going to construct the skyscraper bridge on, looking down, looking down.
Very intensely.
Hold on. Don't interrupt. Beat, looking down, beat. An extra beat, now looking up. Crowd erupts.
Wow.
Yeah. That's my move. That's my song. The song is a lot of bouncing, a lot of bouncing. And I used to be able to walk in slow motion. And I'd be bouncing, and I'd have this, you know, I'd have the jacket slung over the shoulder. And then sometimes I'd go into a little modified karate move at the end if there was enough ladies, you know, up front. You got to give them what they want.
Of course.
Yeah.
Not just the cuff and the watch.
Yeah. No. John?
Yeah.
So, anyway, you got that gold-digging girlfriend.
Quote-unquote gold-digging, yeah.
Yeah, you're working at McDonald's.
Working at McDonald's, yeah.
What's the minimum wage these days? Is it like $6.25 or something?
It's $5.15.
$5.15?
$5.15 an hour.
All right. And you have to punch in after you get changed into your...
McDonald's.
Into your gi, yeah.
Well, I get changed at home, and I kind of walk over there.
Oh, so you walk over in the outfit.
That must be comfortable.
That's smooth.
Yeah. Real dignifying, too.
Yes.
Really? You don't want to just walk over in the T-shirt and pull the polyester smock on after you get in the safe confines of McDonald's? You got to walk over in the crazy brown outfit?
Well, it's blue, you know.
Oh.
They've changed them, Adam.
Mm.
That was 30 years ago. You were there.
Where's the time gone?
Well, pretty much is. I can't go in the bathroom and change because people tend to crap on the walls.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm.
Wait, hold on a second.
He's in Manhattan.
The crap on the wall. What is this guy talking
about? I don't know. You're asking really, all the retarded questions.
I don't really believe this guy. John?
Yeah?
I find you...
No, I'm totally serious.
All right, what's
I know,
question?
But you're annoying me.
Let's get to the
what
question.
What do you want?
What?
Get to the question.
Don't you want to punch, John?
No.
You
know? 15.
All right, how am I going to talk to her, like, out of constantly, you know, making me spend money, so...
What does she make you spend money on?
Well, stupid crap, like stuffed animals, going to the movies and, like, buying tons of, like, candy and soda and things like that.
Just say no.
Either that, John, you just better get used to this. Because it ain't stopping with
better
her.
To make more money. It's really, that should be your plan.
And at least she hasn't started with the things that spoil, flowers and things that really do hurt you.
Yeah. She's not gotten into jewelry. Or like $800 purses
or
ridiculous shoes or anything.
But even,
just head down that path,
even the picnics and the special meals and the buy me flowers, she's being light on him.
Well, besides that, is there any way that I can actually like maybe get some action off her?
Oh, jeez.
All right. I know I wanted to talk to him, but he wasn't bogus from the word go?
Yes.
Or is every guy from New York a jack-off?
That's 15.
Is every guy from New York a jack-off? I haven't met a guy from New York that's not a jack off.
I mean, what is that? What happens?
It's a whole city, a whole state of jack offs.
But people live too close together. They lose their sense of humor.
I don't know.
Jokers.
I mean, like, I know a bunch of guys more recently from New York, from comedy and writing and all that kind of stuff. And they're friends, and they're nice guys, and they're certainly entertaining. They're much more entertaining than what, like, guys from Orange County. It's like, you might as you want to hang out? I'll tell you what, it's more exciting to hang out with a styrofoam cooler than it is to hang out with one of these idiots from Orange County.
That's what the New York guys would say. They have culture.
Well, it's,
they have character.
No, they would I don't know about the culture part, but the point
is the
guys from out here, their head has just been baked by too much weed and the sun. The sun has fried the outer part of their brain. The inner core is still pink and soft, but the outer is charred. It's got grill marks on it. Everyone out here is just stupid, you know. But over there, they're smart asses. Everyone's a jack-off. Everyone's a smart ass. This kid's 15. He's just a totally annoying. He's calling and janging. Yes, you have crap on the thing. I could hear. Everyone I met like is that way from New York. What is that? What a big town full of a-holes. Still better than the people from out here, I think. But it's got to be, I don't know, maybe Oregon? Where could we move, Drew? Carmen, where could we move?
Seattle?
Hawaii.
We'll go to Hawaii.
Go to Hawaii, relax.
Those people are so stupid, though. God, are those people stupid.
Mahalo.
They're dumber than the Orange County people.
Uh-oh. So,
yeah. Sarah?
Mahalo.
Yeah. Hawaiians are stupid in, like, caveman way, too. Orange County is stone stupid, but Hawaiian is, like, caveman. Like, you could scare them with fire. Like, if you had a lighter, I could take over the island with a Bic lighter. I'm almost sure. I'm going to check it out.
A couple of continents.
They're flashing this Bic over my head. Ah, ooh. They eat spam. They like spam over there.
There's a lot of big Samoans over there.
I know. That's the thing.
They're tough, right?
They're scary guys. I can't make fun of them.
Right.
Sarah?
What's up?
What's up?
All right. I'm 18, and I was raped when I was 12 years old. Ever since then, I was experimenting with the internet. I was meeting people off the internet, and I've just found myself a sex addict. I cannot get enough of it. I know it sounds really cheesy, but I love sex, and I don't know if it's something that when I was raped. I don't know if it was something that has to do with that.
Okay, well, sex addict means you keep progressively involving yourselves in more and more problematic situations, things that cause consequences. Mm-hmm. So what's been happening as a result of this?
Well, like, I don't know. I've been put in mental hospitals because of my, you know, because I'd sneak out at 2 o'clock in the morning.
She doubled down on the S word.
You know,
poor Anderson hates that. He really has a short fuse for the S word. But you feel bad the person's been raped.
Well, there's much more going on than just that, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. So what?
Well, let me get some history.
Well,
Come on.
Would you shut up and let Anderson reboot here? Yeah. You okay?
Yeah.
All right. Hold on.
Don't go back to her, though.
Hold on. Anderson, hold on a second. We'll go back to wherever we want to go back.
No, but don't go back to her.
We'll go back once you've reset.
But it's not even a matter of resetting that she messed up that badly.
Yeah, listen, Anderson.
We're not even halfway there yet.
You have to do
the big one. I know you guys don't understand, but that's the case.
Listen, are you reset or are you not
reset?
I'm not even halfway there yet.
No. It's reset now. Your light's off.
True, what is this?
I'm halfway there.
Can we even pretend to do a radio show? Let's just pretend to try to do a radio show.
All right, let's pretend. Ready? Go.
Okay, we're going to another call because Anderson evidently needs a little more time to reset.
Perfect.
Okay, then we'll go back to Sarah. But Anderson, don't start working the content of the show. Summer?
Hello?
You're 25.
Yes.
What's up?
I work in an office of about 40 women, and a lot of us have, our periods are synchronized. But two women in the office miscarried within 48 hours of each other.
Wow.
And I was wondering if it's common for women that spend a lot of time together. I know it's common for their periods to get synchronized. Is it common for women to miscarry together also?
No. Wow. But it's interesting how people would conclude that. What's happening is because your periods are syncing up, you're all ovulating at the same time, so you would all get pregnant on the same day.
Right, they were within, I think, a week of each other.
Right. You'd basically get pregnant. Well, it actually probably was more like the same day.
Okay.
Because pregnancies occur within a 24-hour period. The intercourse can occur several days on either side.
All right, but what Well, then why would you miscarry the same day?
Because most pregnancies end in a spontaneous miscarriage. Now, why the same day was just coincidence, but the fact that they miscarried, it doesn't have anything to do with it.
Yes, okay. Thank you. That's what I'm saying.
But the fact that they had
a long way to go for nothing to do with it.
They'd have a pregnancy that was the same duration and mostly in the first few weeks.
Okay.
There you go. That's a pretty common.
Yeah. Summer, I'm guessing it has less to do with the period syncing up and more to do with the dangerous levels of radon that are currently in your place of work.
That's what we were wondering, if we need to get the EPA up in there, something weird was going on.
No. Don't worry about them.
Well, thank you.
Hey, all right, good times there, baby. All right. Well, just very friendly and jovial miscarriage call. All right, let's get back to Sarah. Now, let me admonish Sarah. Sarah?
Yes?
You cannot use the S word.
I apologize.
Or the F word.
Or the obvious F word, all right?
Okay.
Okay, so who raped you when you were 12?
Well, it started out like I was meeting people off the internet in the beginning, and it was just one incident that I had where I went over to this guy's house. We were just, fooling around, kissing and stuff.
All right.
And then
at age 12 this happened?
Yes.
There was something going on long before that. Were you sort of physically abused as a child?
I was physically abused by my stepfather.
Right. And did anybody ever touch you or do anything inappropriate with you around that time, too?
No.
So it was all physical abuse.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's really the bigger issues. And where was your biological dad during all this?
Doing drugs.
Okay. Well, there's the setup for the character problems that you have, and that's where all these behavioral issues are coming from. It's not. Yes, you may have sexual compulsivity. You may even be a sex addict, but it's part of a bigger syndrome here.
Well, I was also diagnosed with bipolar at 14.
Yeah. So you're bipolar, and do you have a borderline personality? Has that been discussed?
No,
they never said anything like that?
No.
Okay.
Drew has a partial personality. It's a little bit different.
I think there's only one of me. I'm just kind of sure.
No, I didn't say a multiple personality. I said borderline personality.
Okay, sorry. Don't know the psychological stuff.
All right, well, listen, Sarah, stop. Keep your legs crossed for 10 minutes, please.
If you are a sex addict.
Give yourself some help.
Yeah,
would you?
Well, she's been seeing people.
All right.
Are you on mood stabilizers now?
Actually, I was able to get off all medications about 3 weeks ago, and I'm doing really good.
What do you mean you're able? You mean you stopped them?
Well, the doctor decided, because I went from 15 medications to three weeks ago, and we decided that I was going to take me off of those. Psychologist and me, or psychiatrist, whatever.
Because you were refusing to take things?
No, I wasn't refusing. It was just I got really sick from taking them.
And you said you didn't want to take them?
Yeah.
All right. You better be watched very, very carefully, because as you know, bipolarity is a delicate chemistry, and it goes out of whack really easily, and it really needs a lifetime of medication. It really does.
All right, Sarah. Take care of yourself, all right?
And go to SA. Go to SA if you really think you are a sex addict. You may be. It certainly could be benefit from some 12-step.
Carmen, you on any drugs?
Am I?
Yeah.
No.
Well, I don't know. No, I don't know. You seem like you've had some therapy, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Me too.
Who hasn't in Hollywood?
Come on. I was supposed to go today, but I'm too tired.
When are you ever going to speak to your therapist? I mean, actually talk to him.
Drew won't sleep until I tell my therapist I beat off.
Regularly. Excessively.
Excessively?
He's the sex addict.
Yeah, I don't think it's excessive, you know?
I think 3-4 times a day is excessive. But
it is not every day that way.
Don't you have a girlfriend?
Yeah, but
it's not the real thing.
It's not the real thing. It's okay.
Aww.
Yeah. I mean, we can work something out. Dave's an open-minded guy. Right?
No.
Dave looks like
I'm not either.
No, we
have a good relationship.
Yeah.
There's nothing else is going on.
Yeah.
No way.
That's what Billy Bob said with Angelina Jolie, I was able to break that one up. Ooh. You guys didn't know that?
You broke that one up.
Yeah. I nailed Billy Bob.
You did?
Yeah. She caught us. It's sticky. I probably shouldn't have brought that up.
It's sticky.
We'll take a little break. It's the wound hasn't scabbed over yet.
Okay.
Carmen Electra here tonight. She's got a bunch of stuff going on, but most importantly, BattleBots. Yeah. Fortunately, she's never heard of any of the participants of BattleBots because they're such colossal geeks that she can't even commit them to memory. But that's on tonight, Comedy Central, my beloved BattleBots. We'll be back after this. Love Line. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Carmen Electra is our guest tonight. Tom Arnold in here tomorrow night. Carmen, you know, from many, many endeavors, and she's on BattleBots, which is on tonight and every Tuesday night on Comedy Central at 10 o'clock. But Carmen is... Carmen Electra is just sort of Carmen Electra. I've decided. It's good.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah. Yeah, you'll be end up being like, remember Zsa Zsa Gabor?
Hmm.
You just be Zsa Zsa Gabor. I mean, you know, you're younger, but I mean, certain personalities.
Orson Bean.
Yeah, I'm sure all our listeners know Orson Bean. Well, the point is. It's an interesting kind of celebrity where you just become a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
See, now, you may not feel this way, but this is the way we feel about you.
Okay.
Carmen Electra is a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
She's Carmen Electra.
Mm-hmm.
We like her. We like to hump her, that's usually. And then later on, we don't want to hump you, but we still know who you are.
Uh-huh.
Well, some of the older guys do, but here's what I'm saying. It's better than the other kind of celebrity, because the other kind of celebrity has to keep doing stuff, has to, like, you have to keep cranking out stuff, or you lose your celebrity.
Right.
You turn into like Larry Wilcox from Chips. Who is that guy? That's that blonde guy who was on Chips.
Kent McCord.
Yeah, remember the guy's partner? Remember Ponch's partner? Yeah, see, he Larry Wilcox, not Carmen Electra. Carmen Electra is just Carmen Electra. You'll always be Carmen Electra. You don't have to do anything for like 5 years. You just do nothing.
But you know what? I'm so addicted to work. Like, I feel like if I have any time to myself, I think about work.
Oh, you're turning me off, babe.
So I'm turning you off.
Yeah,
that is what they call lazy.
I'm being honest.
He's lazy.
It's more no count.
No count. Well, no count's the Corolla part.
Yeah. All right. But it's nice. You're young, and you've established yourself as Carmen Electra. You're Carmen Electra. It's got to be nice.
Why, thank you.
Yeah. All right. Baywatch reunion coming up?
That's right. Leaving in September, actually, to go to Hawaii and shoot the Baywatch reunion movie.
Ooh.
For Fox.
And it'd be like a two-hour movie?
Yeah.
And it's all the cast, it still looks good?
The entire cast is back.
Oh, they're going to... But, like, if someone doesn't look good in a bikini, they'll put them in a wheelchair and say they got in a horrible jet ski accident.
They
or
may
something.
Do that. Yeah.
Oh. Can I ask her who?
Well, she doesn't know who's in a wheelchair. Is anyone in a wheelchair?
No. Oh, okay. No.
If there's someone in a wheelchair, I'm gonna want credit now. All right. Let's talk
to... It's a good idea, though.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's talk
to... I might have to call the producers. And
Dave's going to be there. I mean, not your Dave,
Hasselhoff's
going to be there.
That's right. Dave.
I call
Dave Hasselhoff, yeah.
Jason?
Hi.
You're 23?
Yeah, I'm 23.
Mm-hmm. What's up?
It's kind of hard to explain, so I'm going to try it. Mm-hmm. I've had my nipples pierced for just a little over a year.
Huh.
And, I work in a warehouse. So they were always infected. You know, I'm sweating a lot. Sorry, I'm kind of nervous. And, they're infected a lot, so I decided I was going to take them out. Well, when I took them out, I think, like inside my nipple, it's infected.
Uh-huh.
And I want to know if maybe I should get some antibiotics or if doctor thinks it'll go away. Or
how long have the piercings been out?
I'm sorry?
How long have the piercings been out?
Just about 2 weeks.
All right, well, there's really no way I can know without examining and whatnot. So it's all speculation. But look, I doubt that they were infected chronically for however long months you had them in. They probably were just sort of low-level rejection.
Oh, I'm not saying constantly. I mean, on and off. I mean, on days I work, I took 2 showers a day, you know, antibacterial soap. Like,
they were probably rejecting, because infection will either resolve or spread. It's really difficult to have one just kind of be there all the time. Not to say you can't, but it's unlikely. So it's probably just being rejected. And once you take them out, all that inflammation, all that inflammatory material, is something called proud flesh and scarring, can sort of perpetuate itself. It can keep going even though the original irritant isn't there.
Proud flesh, that was my porn Indian name.
Oh, right.
It's some Indian porn.
That's
for
proud,
a while.
Flesh. Proud flesh. That's Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
No, seriously, it's Adam Carolla.
Yeah, it was comes on wolves eventually, but I change it. My agent, my Indian porn agent, had me change
it. Obvious, yeah. God bless
the Lord. Yeah, it didn't roll off the tongue.
Nice. Yeah. So, Jason, you do need to have this looked at. There are anti-inflammatory agents they can use, and indeed you may need some antibiotics also.
Well, the reason I thought they were infected is because they feel, you know how when you fill up water balloons, and when you tie it, there's that little bubble of water balloon on the tip.
Yeah.
That's how they feel. They're like real mushy and they move around.
That's all inflammation. Whether or not it's infected, you can't
say. But he's starting feeling like fluid inside
that's,
of it.
But that's what proud flesh literally looks like.
Yeah, hey.
he describes it beautifully. That's what proud. It looks like a pink little balloon popping through there.
That's exactly.
And that's proud like. Flesh.
Hey, yeah. Jason.
Yeah.
Let me tip my hat or headdress to you and say that rarely do we get people on the show that can describe anything.
Yes. Yes.
And you did a decent job of describing what was going on in your nipples with the balloon metaphor. Very nice.
Well,
for me, the
timing was right.
That would have been a 2.5 or a 3, but for one of our callers, that is an 11 plus.
Plus.
They usually have so much difficulty describing everything. It's like, what size piece of fruit would it be?
It's just the size we had.
Yeah.
The one I ate.
Yeah, Jason did a good job with this. Jason seems a little too smart for the nipple rings anyway.
I was just thinking that.
Plus, you work in Arizona and you work in a warehouse. You're walking around with the nipple rings. You're going to get your ass kicked by some guy driving a forklift.
Absolutely.
So that's enough of that nonsense. I find it, I don't like the nipple rings. I know Dave Navarro has nipple rings. Does he keep them in?
He does keep them in.
What's that do for you? Anything?
I mean, it looks hot, you know.
Okay.
He has an incredible body, so I like his tattoos. I like everything.
It'd be better without the nipple rings, though, right?
No. I love them.
It's on there.
I think
See,
they're great.
It's people like you that ruin it.
What do you mean?
Women always do that, though, right? You know what I mean? If they're in love with that, everything about him rates a 10.
Yeah, but Carmen likes nipple rings. I mean, she's been...
I've heard that said.
She's attracted to a man's nipples and the rings that pass through them. It's true. You've been with many a man with nipple rings. That's your bread and butter, nipple rings.
This is the first one.
Yeah, every guy.
No, this is the first one. No, he doesn't have nipple rings.
I don't know.
He has a belly button ring. He has two in the nose.
And earrings. One in the nipple. One in the nipple.
No. Right. No nipple. I'm sorry, you're wrong.
I'm going to check up on that.
put that
Do
on
some research.
No nipple, please.
All right. But the point is you like guys. You like these screwball guys with all the piercings, right?
Not necessarily.
Troublemaker. You wouldn't go with a regular guy. Like one of these guys that...
No, I always...
Owned and operated one of those battle bots. No nipple piercings.
You know, Dave is kind of a regular guy. Though.
He is. Thank you.
Dave is a regular guy, but he doesn't appear like a regular guy.
I know.
That's what's perfect about him, because I get the best of both worlds. He looks like this tough, crazy guy, rock and roll guy, and he's just a sweetheart. He's so down to earth.
I know, but why?
It's great. I love it.
You need that tough rock and roll thing.
Do I need it? No, but is it sexy? Absolutely.
All right.
She needs it.
She needs it. Of course she needs it. Dave Navarro. Mm-hmm. If Dave would just like shave that goatee off and pull all those nipple rings out and walk around in a pair of Dockers, Carmen would just toss him to the curb so fast.
No way.
Absolutely.
No way.
You wouldn't even know you wouldn't know him in the first place. That's the whole thing. You're thinking about your Dave Navarro putting Dockers on. You'd never even have a relationship with the guy because he didn't have holes in his nipples. Oh, you make me sick.
You are crabby.
I can't stand
what
that.
What did I do to you, Adam?
You know, no, nothing. That's the point.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Exactly.
That's my point. Murray?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yes, that's right.
What's up?
I'm calling because I think I might be addicted, if that's the right word to use, to the time period of the 30s and the 40s.
Yeah. Drew's dad is, too. That's what he wants to... He always talks about it and how much stuff costs and still thinks a quarter goes a long way. Maybe you two ought to get together.
What do you mean? What are you thinking? What are you saying?
Well, it's a little hard to explain. I'm a jazz musician, so I've been studying the music of that time pretty much all my life. And my favorite...
What's your instrument?
A piano.
Piano.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite music to listen to has always been Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong and swing bands of that time.
And how long have you been sort of attached to this time period?
Only about maybe the past year.
And before that, you weren't preoccupied with it?
Not really, no. I mean, it was always fun, but it's just gotten to be more of a hobby or, you know, just something a little bit more. About a year ago or so.
Do you dress like you're living in that period?
Yes. My friends and I go swing dancing, and so people do that, you know, when you go swing dancing.
Hold on 1 second. I'm gonna prove a very important point about women. If she's addicted to the 30s and the 40s,
yeah.
The biggest event of the 40s would be, what would you say, Drew?
World War II.
World War II. I'm going to ask her one basic question about World War II. She'll have no answer.
All right.
This proves that even when
give her five questions.
Even when a woman is obsessed with a decade, if there's a war in it, she doesn't know about it.
Just ask who the head of the commander of the armed forces was.
That's too hard.
Come on.
That's too hard. Marie?
No, please don't quiz me. Please don't quiz me.
What year did World War II begin?
Forget it.
1941.
Well,
44.
When did the U.S.
44.
When did the U.S. enter?
I'm sorry?
When did the U.S. enter World War II, I think, is what he's asking.
Yeah.
45?
Okay. Yeah. See, there you go. Yeah. You're sure obsessed with that decade. And who was on our side and who was on their side?
Oh, there you go. Oh.
This is a good basic one. Allied and Axis powers.
Just the Axis. Who's the Axis?
Yeah, who was the enemy? What? Who was the enemy? Who were we fighting?
Germany.
Right?
Yes.
And?
Italy.
Oh, good.
Ooh. Ooh. And?
Those are the two big ones.
Hint. Pearl Harbor.
I'm not a history buff.
Pearl Harbor. It's a hint.
What?
Pearl Harbor is a hint.
Oh, Japan?
Yeah.
Well done.
See, this is my theory about women. There's a zero about war. Zero. Even ones are obsessed with the decade the war was in.
She's just going through a phase. It's okay.
Yeah, she's absolutely fine.
I mean, I went through like a whole like phase where I permed my hair and took hip-hop classes and, you know, everybody goes through like a phase of something they really love and you probably just get over it and move on to something else.
And why should you feel different than someone who's into a certain kind of music or certain other kind of style?
It's cool.
She's into the music and the dress and the style,
which is sort of kind of goes
together. It's kind of a good time, actually, musically and stylistically. So, Marie.
Yes.
We're okay with it.
Okay.
All right, but bone up on World War II, would you please?
If you're really into the 40s the way you say you are, come on.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. I'm amazed at what women don't know about war. I'm absolutely
dumbfounded. Hiding out, afraid to ask her something.
I'm not going
to
ask her anything about war. No, I know.
I have to use the restroom. I'll be back in a few minutes.
I don't know. I think it's. I'm trying to think what the equivalent of that is. Maybe
for men?
Acrylic nails. I'm trying to think what we don't know about. But this guy, that really,
you know,
this
we don't
is a world-changing event.
We don't know about style, most men. I mean, my wife will point out stuff. I go, like, how do you know that? Where did you pick that? What did you?
Yeah, but that's,
where did you
that
study
doesn't
this?
Count. That but, doesn't
I mean,
count.
You,
no, true. I got style.
Am
Look
I right?
at me.
That's
Look
true.
At me.
But nuances about what's going on this year. That it just
the season, actually.
The season,
right?
Drew, stop kissing feminine ass. it's abomination. The women need to know about the wars. They really should. They don't even know who was fighting who. They know like the basic elements of war. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Carmen doesn't need to because she lives in the here and the now.
That's right.
She's so focused on on nipple rings that she has no more room.
I'm
in
not,
her
Adam. I really don't care about nipple rings.
I'd like to get hold of that Dave Navarro and give him a makeover. Give him a nice geeky makeover.
I can turn him into a geek.
Yeah, yeah.
And he can build battle bots. And,
yeah. I would love it. Just come on. Hook up with one of those battle bot guys. Just one.
No way.
I love those guys. They just what a life. They've punished their whole life for their love of mechanics. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Carmen Electra, our guest tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Carmen has the... Now, when's that Baywatch reunion air?
Not sure when it's going to air. We haven't shot it yet, but we're leaving in September to shoot it, so...
Have they told like everyone, like, hey, get in shape or
no.
Hit the treadmill or anything?
I think that's just a given, you know? If you know you're going to be on the beach, half naked or, you know...
Right.
You better go to the gym and get it together.
I tell you, I will watch that. I will enjoy that. I'll enjoy it. I enjoy that Baywatch on many different levels. Mm-hmm. Many levels.
I am absolutely sure of it.
Yeah. It's not all about the chicks. I like
the writing.
You jack off to Hasselhoff.
Oh, how dare you, Drew. No, I enjoyed the one where there was like the gentle giant living under the pier.
I remember that.
And he liked to make little like mobiles out of seashells, but he had this like evil boss who was somehow had a scam with this guy where this
at the carnival, right?
This,
or something.
This giant would scare people. They would like drop their change and run, and this guy would gather it up. Yeah, there's something with the car. There was something at a carnival.
Yeah,
he got his at the end though, the bad guy. But I enjoyed that one especially.
Very 70s-esque.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about Baywatch. It had
Sort of the writers from Chips hanging out.
It had some 70s storylines, yeah. And I used to like it, too, when they jump into the Santa Monica Bay and it was clear for 20 feet
right,
down.
Right.
Yeah, meanwhile, I've never seen my feet in that bay. And, I mean, you go into that water, you'd be like 4 feet, you can't find your knees in there.
Isn't it rated?
And
you come it's out with rated an F, I think. It's pretty nasty.
That's what I was yapping about. You know, we put on concerts every year. This station probably gives away $10 million to heal the bay. Everyone gives money to the bay. I'm not sure where that money's going.
Not to the bay.
The bay doesn't. I think they're physically dumping the money into the bay. I think that's what's going on. They're taking those big novelty styrofoam checks and they're throwing them right into the bay. That's my new hypothesis.
How dare they?
Bryce?
Yes.
You're 27?
Yes.
What's up?
How you doing?
Good.
I got a moral dilemma. I've been with this girl for 3 years now, a little over 3 years, and we have a child together. She has her own child, who's 7 years old. My child's 2 years old. And
she has a child that's not yours, that's seven.
Correct.
And the one you have together is two.
Right.
Okay.
The relationship is just, it's impossible for me. It doesn't seem to be impossible for her, but it's really tough on me, you know what I mean?
The relationship between you and your girlfriend?
Yes.
Why?
She's very controlling.
She's okay in the relationship and you're unhappy?
Yes.
Is she like, I've had women do this before, that they turn the relationship becomes like their project.
Exactly.
And it's always about the relationship. And then it sort of becomes what you're not doing constantly. And then it becomes a drag because you're in this, it's like going to work, but your boss is constantly unhappy with your work and you're doing subpar work and he's constantly complaining. It's like eventually you just want out.
Right.
And yet they're always saying that they're trying to improve the relationship, but they're basically just sort of punching the crap out of it, so they're beating it up all the time, so that you just want to move.
Yeah. But I want to give my son a family, you know, and her child's become attached to me. And
how about a little therapy?
It's possible. It's not out of the question. It would be. I don't think that she'd do it. I've actually asked her before, and she,
really.
Yeah.
So it's ironic that she's so into discussing the relationship or working on the relationship, but doesn't want to do the real work.
She's not into discussing it, really.
She's actually happy with the status quo. He's the one that's unhappy.
Yeah, I mean, I do a lot. You know, I do a lot for her. I take care of her kids, take care of my kids.
Why are you so unhappy with her if she's happy? She's not happy with you?
I have goals. I want to start my own business, and I just want to do a lot of things. And
yeah, but what is she doing? I mean, what is she saying to you that's making you unhappy?
Making things very difficult, starting fights, trying to crack the whip, you know what I mean, so to speak.
Yeah, but, I mean, is she harping on you about what you're not doing for her?
Yes, but the fact is that I am doing it, you know what I mean? I do a lot, and I don't get any credit for it whatsoever. I actually, the more I do, it seems like the more I do, the more grief I get.
Yeah. All right, well, why don't you
leave?
No, he's got the kids. Why don't you tell her, look, you're unhappy in this relationship.
Oh, my God, I've done that so many times.
And then tell her, look, I'm thinking about getting out. So unless we can get a little therapy and try to straighten this thing out, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, the problem is I've threatened so many times that she just doesn't take me seriously.
Well, this is not a threat. This
right.
is we're going to make an appointment. We're going to go in and talk to somebody. We're going to work this out on behalf of the kids. And if you know, I got my calendar open. I'm picking a date. If you're not on board with this, I'm out on that date.
Now, what are the repercussions going to be on the children? You know,
well, ultimately, the kids will probably be better off if you two aren't. Oh, shut up! If you two aren't happy, if you two, would you shut up, Drew?
That's not true.
It's BS. I just had this conversation with a kid who was divorced today, who's not a kid anymore. He's in his 30s, but he was saying how happy he was when his parents finally got divorced because they were so unhappy together and they're going at it.
Was it physically abusive to one another?
No, they weren't breaking bottles over each other, but they were clearly unhappy, and there was that energy that's in the house. Drew does this. It's a way of keeping himself in line in his own relationship because he can't even flirt with the notion of going anywhere. But this is true, Drew. If the parents are miserable together, it's not great for the kids.
Right. Of course not great for the kids, but separating really has long-term consequences on the kids.
Yeah, I have... I worry about that because I don't want my son to disrespect me. And if I stay with her, you know, he's going to grow up and he's really not going to respect me.
Look, just do that. That's probably untrue. Just do what I said about the therapy. And look, everyone gets divorced. That's the problem. Here's the deal. It's how you handle it after the divorce, what the situation is. So many times the guys move out of state. You never see the guy again, that kind of stuff. There's a way to do it. I mean, if your focus is, I'm going to get divorced, but I'm going to make this the least impactful on the kids as possible. I'm going to do everything within my power to make this not horrific for the kids. These kids can have a good, still have a good upbringing.
Yeah.
All right. Sure. I know you're very old-fashioned that way, but people that are miserable dad with mom, kids pick up that energy too. I mean, that's rather happy.
Mostly they're afraid the parents are going to break apart and the family's going to break apart. Mostly that's the energy they feel.
I agree with you to some degree, but there's also just the fact that there's two unhappy people that are living under the same roof
it's a relief not to have
almost contempt for each other. It's very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's probably a relief if mommy goes on vacation for a couple of weeks. All right, Carmen Electra here. Take a quick break. Say hi, Carmen.
Hi.
All right, we'll be back.
Hi, this is Dave Navarro. You're listening to Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey.
Aww.
It's the first liner I've ever heard on this show.
We've got a million now. We just never use them.
Yeah. Every night we sit here and watch a guest cut liners, and then I don't know where they go.
Don't get in the context of the show.
All right. I don't know what Anderson's making.
I don't either.
I don't know what he's saying. Okay. Carmen Electra is our guest tonight. And phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Carmen was just staying for the first hour. And I got so caught up in that couple and their therapy and everything, I forgot to say bye to Carmen.
Mm-hmm.
So Carmen can say bye to you. But Carmen, why don't you answer one question
one for,
and then,
you, yeah.
okay.
then hit
right.
the road. All right.
right.
All right, man. That sounds good.
Yeah,
right?
That's fair.
Linnell?
Yeah.
You're 30?
Yeah. Who do you have answering the phone? Some deaf 13-year-old?
Hey, you bitch. You kiss my ass.
Well, there you go, Carmen. That's
all right, Carmen.
That was for me.
That was
How
it.
Nice.
Carmen Electra,
I was
everybody.
Ready to get into it.
Screw her. BattleBots, Tuesday nights at 10 o'clock. Look forward to that big Baywatch reunion coming up and many, many other projects.
That's right.
All right. All right, see you, Carmen.
Bye.
Good times. Good seeing you. And send Dave over when he comes back.
Absolutely.
And, tell him to pay us a visit.
I sure will.
And don't tell him anything I said about the nipple rings or anything.
I'm telling him. Calling him right now.
He's
Please.
Listening. We're talking about
He's in London.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just,
but I'll tell him anyway.
Let's have the nipple ring be our little thing.
On the radio? Yeah. How's it going to be our little thing?
Secret.
Like everyone's
secret.
Our little secret.
Yeah.
I'm calling him right now.
People listen to the show.
Yeah.
No one listens to this show.
They're
anyway.
Stoned and they get up the next day and it's all like a bad dream.
Right.
That's what this show becomes like, right?
A nightmare?
For us.
Yeah, for us, it's just a bad dream. It's just a bad
You're stoned.
Dream.
It's perfect.
Oh, how dare you. I was just a little bit tired, that's all. All right, let's go. Carmen, you're gone. You're done.
Am I out of here?
Yeah.
I'm done?
If you want, you can stay if you want.
Great.
Yeah, whichever one you want.
Mahalo. I think I'm going to go home and
go.
I'm tired. I've had rehearsals all day, so.
I know what it's like.
I'm exhausted.
Tell what you're rehearsing for?
Dancing. The Pussycat Dolls. It's a group that I'm dancing with. It's a contemporary burlesque cabaret act.
Sweet.
And we're leaving for Costa Rica. We're performing there, and so we've been dancing all day.
When'd you leave?
Leave on Thursday morning.
Good times.
Mm-hmm.
I'd see that.
After tomorrow.
I know. Yeah. So.
Wow. Drew did the weekday math.
I'm trying to figure out what day this is.
Well, yeah. It's Tuesday. Leaving Thursday. So it's not tomorrow. All right. And you sure she didn't leave already, like last Thursday or something? Yeah. I'm just checking your math. You good?
Yeah.
All right. All right, Carmen. Go home and take a nap.
Okay. I'm going to bed.
Good night.
Good times.
Bye. Good times.
Bye.
Dave's out of town. I may swing by on the way up the hill. That's all I'm saying. I'll be the guy doing the burnout on the lawn. You just come out.
The donuts.
I'll be doing the donuts on the lawn. All right, Carmen Electra, everybody. God bless you. BattleBots. I love that show. I wish you'd date just one of the guys on that show. Just
no
one
way.
Time. I know. It's four guys. They're punished for
their
IQ.
They're so sweet, though. They're so nice.
So nice.
A lot of good
All right, baby. Good times, sir. We'll see you soon.
All
good
right,
luck.
I'm out of here.
Good seeing you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's talk to Stephanie, who's 17 over here.
Yeah?
Was getting a phone number or something?
Stephanie.
Bye, Carmen. Bye. Stephanie, you're 17. What's up?
Yeah. Hi. I guess I have a question because I was at reform school for 2 years in Mexico, and ever since I came back, I've been home for.
Wait, I don't want to cut you off, but all schools in Mexico are reform school. That's
you're
the way it works.
You're in Seattle now, right?
Yeah.
How does one go?
Well, basically I was a runaway and having sex and doing drugs and stuff, and my parents. I had a counselor or something, and my parents were talking to her, and they're called worldwide programs, mm-hmm. and there's some in Mexico, Jamaica, there's in Samoa, but I got shut down, and they're some in the United States.
So you were taken away from Seattle and sent down to Mexico, and what happened?
I was escorted.
What was it like?
It really sucked. I got a lot of good out of it, but I don't know if I'd ever want someone else to go. It's not, the most uncommon thing, but... It was just really hard for me, especially.
Are you better?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I don't know. All right, anyway.
So it was worthwhile for you, right?
Yeah. What? I wouldn't, it's hard to say. I don't know. I have mixed feelings on it. I definitely see the positive. Right.
What part of Mexico?
Ensenada, not really far down.
Baja.
That's a few miles from Tijuana.
Now, what was going on with you? What do you think you were acting out?
Basically, I think... I was really, my mom has always been really strict my whole life, at least, about little things.
Yeah.
And I think I was rebelling against that.
Did they physicalize? Did they hurt you? Or
no, nothing like that. A lot of verbal stuff with my dad, but he never touched me or my brother or anything.
Sexual abuse with neighbors or anything like that?
Actually, yeah, but that was kind of after I started screwing up. I think that was more you know what I'm saying?
Interesting.
You may have started screwing up, but that really must have turned the volume way up.
Yeah, I think it did.
Wait a minute. What was it? What went on with the neighbor?
It wasn't actually. It wasn't a big thing. He was actually 1 year younger than me. It was just.
Oh, okay.
I was kind of getting
that vibe too. All right, but what's the part where your parents sent you to the Mexican Reform School? I mean, your parents did this. They paid for it.
Oh yeah, it's about $2,000 a month too, from my understanding. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
$2,000 a month.
Yeah.
Can't
for
you?
2 years.
You could buy Baja for that.
Yeah.
That's the mortgage on Baja. Yeah, I priced it out. Mm-hmm. But it's $1,900 and change if you want to own it. Wow, it's crazy. You're just sitting in the sun eating fish tacos all day.
It's like one of those
Corona commercials, right?
We didn't have TV.
Oh yeah.
It was different. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
It was a therapeutic school.
They had some of that. I don't know if you've heard of these. They're called seminars. But they're really, really intense. They go for 3 days. They're really emotional and I don't know.
This is crazy.
Those are probably what I hated the most.
Ironically, no Mexican kids there, right?
No, it's all pretty much spoiled rich kids.
Yeah.
And I think their philosophy was you gotta show them, break them like a horse, I guess, or...
Which I understand.
Was there a brainwashing?
A little boot camp.
Was there, a brainwashing going on?
No, not really. Not like that. There were places there. I was almost sent to another place because I didn't cooperate fully. And there's this thing called high impact. The Mexican authorities actually shut it down, so you know it's bad. It was basically, I mean, I saw it as a concentration camp, just how people came back.
Well, yeah. They were laundering drug money through the
yeah,
place.
Yeah, well, I don't know. There had to be something going on because...
All right, but listen. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Wow. This is true. This is what you have. You have an out-of-control teen. It's a drastic measure.
Yeah, but,
and it's a little bit of a boot camp mentality.
Yeah, but it sounds...
For 2 years. I don't know.
Boot camp is one thing. It sounds like brainwashing.
Why?
Just these intensive 3 days, highly emotional experience.
Yeah.
What were they trying to indoctrinate you into? I mean, you got
a
brain.
Break them down like a horse. She said.
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Break their spirit.
Yeah. Drew, these people—they're out of control and dangerous to themselves.
In my experience, kids that go through stuff like that, when they get out, they go from smoking a little pot to showing what you know. They pull a needle out as soon as they hit the tarmac.
But they weren't. They weren't smoking a little pot. I mean, that's not what got them there.
I understand, but the out of control kids that gets these super, you know, highly charged experiences, I've seen them go bad on that.
Well, I'm not getting the exact same picture from this that you are, but anyway, Stephanie.
Yeah.
So now you're back.
Right.
And you're having reoccurring nightmares?
Yeah, they're not like really like screaming, scary kind of things, but it is. I wake up and it's like the daytime too. I just get. Like, whenever I'm around alone or at night or any of those situations.
What that is a post-traumatic stress disorder from this experience.
Yeah.
And thankfully, I suspect you're not an addict.
No.
Yeah. Addicts, when they get the post-traumatic stress, and this is what I'm talking about, Adam.
Drew, shush up.
This is...
You decided the way this thing was going to go 10 minutes before I went to it. How dare you? How dare you foist your agenda on this poor caller? I'm sorry, sweetheart. I'm listening.
Okay.
All right, Drew's angry now. Go ahead, Drew. What? Drew's angry. But I don't know. I think this may have been the right thing to do with this girl.
I don't deny that.
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying it has worked for her. And what she's getting now is what often occurs. It's a sort of post-traumatic stress reaction. And then when they're addicts, they go for relief of that by seeking drugs and accelerating their drug use, and boy, they really go to town then.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Stephanie, you really should seek help for what really PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, because that's what happens when you've been in these highly, highly intensive situations. It changes your brain chemistry, as you found, and maybe it's worked for you. You're in a better state than you were then behaviorally, but there's some consequences for this.
Well, let me just ask one more question. Stephanie.
Yeah.
What were they doing that was traumatic to you, besides just sort of generally being in that environment?
Yeah, okay. Day-to-day life wasn't that hard, and that's why, for me, because it's like a level system, and for me, it was a lot easier to stay kind of at a mid-level, and that's why I was there so long, like 2 years, and most because you're supposed to graduate, and I never graduated.
But was there anything that was...
What was so traumatizing?
What was so traumatizing?
Okay. Once a month, and sometimes twice, they have these things called seminars, and it's mandatory. You have to go.
Right.
And if you, like, if you...
We got it. Now, what went on?
Basically, it's all, like, feeling-based. Like, they want to know what's in your past. And it's, like, something... Like, for me, I didn't really have any, like, really negative things in my past. I think, you know, things just kind of went downhill real fast for me.
Would they have exercises
where
you yell things at each other? And
we
screaming.
We beat the floor with towels. We had the one thing that really got
is that
me
like
that
like est?
It is like yes, and that's something that comes out of those sorts of programs too, is post-traumatic stress reactions.
Beating the floor with towels. Yeah. Don't have bataka bats over there?
That's the same idea. It's definitely interesting. That was an interesting call.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I've never had that call.
Yeah.
So, Dominic?
Yeah?
You got a problem with your car?
Yeah, man.
I already hate Dominic.
Hey, come on in.
What's up? What do you need? What kind of car is it?
Well, it's about 12 years old. It's a 1990 Chevy Blazer. And I have this problem where sometimes it burns out and sometimes it doesn't.
Burns out?
You know a few things about cars. And I was wondering if you know...
Whatever.
I don't know.
Well, it has a 350 small block and a displacement of 7.5... I'm sorry.
7.7
liters and 210 factory horsepower.
Whatever.
5.7 liters. It's got a 350 small block. And what about the horsepower?
210, but I want to go for the upgrade.
210?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it's 210.
Yeah. All right, so what do you want from me?
Well, I just want to know what I can do to get it to burn out.
Oh, you want to light up the back tires?
Well, sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're gonna have smog issues, you know.
Yeah.
That engine's probably got a lot of smog on it. Listen, why don't you get yourself like an air filter and put like a cat-back exhaust on it.
Okay.
And I don't even know if that car is a chip, but you could possibly do like a chip on that engine.
1990.
That'll kick you, 92 or 90, whatever. That'll kick you up a little bit. It's basically a piece of ass. All American stuff is such junk. Especially, even the new stuff's junk.
Really?
It's meaty.
I thought they're finally getting it together.
Yeah, but they're sort of finally getting it together to be where they should have been about 5 years ago. And now Europeans and Japanese have kept moving forward. So it's this constant thing. It's like, oh, they're pretty good now, but if this was 1996, they'd be pretty good now.
Right.
Americans are like retarded with cars.
Huh.
I mean, you know, Chrysler gets into big trouble, needs to be bailed out in the late 70s, early 80s, you know.
Yeah.
They're seeing what the Japanese are doing, and their answer is the K car. Piece of crap box. You know, Americans are really, really retarded when it comes to cars. And a lot of those, so-called, classic muscle cars, those Vets, those Mustangs and stuff, get up close on one of those and sit on it. Look at the leaf spring suspension and the big drum brakes. Realize the technology on that stuff is about 25 years behind the European cars. Take a look at the interior, and not as cool as all you idiots think those cars are. Those old Vets, those old Mustangs, mostly junk. Mostly junk. Thank you. David?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yeah, I'm 21.
That's how you can tell. You know how you can tell stupid guys? Stupid guys like thick crust pizza and American cars.
Hmm.
That's how you know a guy's stupid. Thank you, David. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I had a question. When I have sex with my girlfriend and she's on top, she'll kind of lean forward.
Right.
And she'll put kind of like torque, kind of like bending.
Right.
Spinning the male part up, and it kind of hurts. I know she does it because it kind of it makes it rub on the top area for her.
It hurts your penis to bend it forward toward your chin when you're on your back.
Yeah, but I think she's forcing it to go.
She's like kind of forcing it because she's like
slow. See what I'm saying?
She's like leaning forward.
She's forcing it to go.
And it
she's
hurts,
bending
it.
She's bending it.
Yeah, it's kind of it's kind of like against
really.
It's kind of like putting pressure towards it. Yeah.
Hmm. It seems like it would just pivot forward.
It wants to go like that.
She'll like slide back, and she'll kind of like it'll kind of make it kind of bend.
Drew's a passionate man. Has obviously been through this dance with many a candy striper in his day. So I don't know. You know, I'm old fashioned.
She's like
missionary
she's
for
like,
me.
That's it. Huh?
She's on top of me.
Oh, if that,
what?
She'll kind of slide back. It kind of bends like up towards me. And
all right, we got it. Listen, all right. So tell her to stop. It hurts.
How graphically do we both have to picture your penis, Dave, for you to be satisfied?
You don't have to be. Why do you have to be shy about saying, "Hey, this is painful"?
Well, because I know she really likes it, and I'm just wondering. I mean, could that like break the cartilage?
No, there's no cartilage in there, but you can tear things. There is such a thing.
Yeah.
And there's a ligament there at the base that you can rip, actually, but that just kind of holds it up, this directionality.
Yeah, you'd be all right, but just go ahead and tweak yourself with her a little bit. Plus, hopefully she's not too big a woman. David?
No, she's not. She's
not a big woman? No. Grab her hips and guide her a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe if she doesn't lean so much forward.
I kind of guide it back a little bit so it's not too bad. But
all right.
I'm just afraid that I'm going to get hurt here.
Yeah, it's unlikely. Good times.
Yeah, you're fine. All right, let's talk to Bill. Bill?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I wish Carmen was still there because this might be a good question to get a woman's perspective on as well. But
you're gay.
That's nice. No. Any other guests you wish were still here?
No. Anything else about the show you wish were still happening?
Well, basically...
Do you wish Adam were funny?
I do.
The girl I've been seeing for over 3 years now has gained quite a bit of weight over that time.
How much?
I would say at least 50 pounds.
How tall is she?
5'4", 5'6", maybe.
Wow, that must be tough for her. She must be aware of it, talking about it.
No, she tries to avoid the subject.
Is she on any medication?
No.
The birth control pills?
Birth control, yes.
Has that done something to her, do you think?
That's hard to say. I really don't know.
What about getting her a dietitian or somebody to talk to?
Well, I've tried to motivate her to lose weight. She says she wants to lose weight. I bought her a book on the subject that some coworkers of mine have used.
That's what
kind
the
of like chunky.
So your old lady's fat. Yeah. That's the title of the book.
Yeah. What's your
basically,
new book?
I want to know
what book did you get her just for?
What book?
Just for interest's sake. Yeah.
Body for Life.
All right, that's a good one.
All right, you know that one, Drew?
Yeah, I do know that one.
And
is she willing to exercise? That's a big part of his program.
That's part of the whole thing is that whenever suggestions have been made to her, whether it's from me or someone else, she'll sound really enthusiastic about trying it, but then she doesn't do it.
Yeah. All right.
What are you going
to
do?
And basically, I just want to know, what is a good way to motivate someone to lose weight without sounding like nagging or having it come off as an ultimatum?
Here's the problem, Bill. It's not your tone. It's not your voice. It's not the words that you choose. It's your role. You are her man.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start speaking about losing weight, you're screwed.
Yeah.
It'll come across as an attack almost automatically.
Yeah.
Right.
Unfortunately, that's the problem.
Well, fortunately, I'm not the one who started it. Her own parents said it.
Right.
Maybe you can enlist them to apply a little more pressure.
Her parents are probably the only people worse than you to deliver this message.
Probably the reason that she has the weight problem.
Well, and even when she went to the doctor and got weighed, she didn't even want to tell me what the doctor said she weighed, but she even said she was not happy with it.
Well, and you know what drives me bonkers about these relationships we have with these nutty broads, Drew, is they don't hesitate for a moment to explain everything that we're not doing right, that we're coming up short on. No difficulties at all with this. No hesitation. Mm-hmm. That suit looks like crap. Go back and change it. Where are you going with that tie on?
When did you start going through that, Mr. Man of the House? Suddenly, as the marriage approaches, is that the way things have changed?
Oh, no. Listen, I rule. I rule.
That's what you've always said, but you've never been strange. Brought this topic up.
What are you talking about? I've talked about this 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. Women have nothing but complaints with guys. And Drew, your wife is that pyramid.
No, they
the
mostly
very
complain
top
about
of that
other
pyramid.
Women.
The top. Huh? You know where they draw the eye? You know the eye on the pyramid and the Freemasons logo? Your wife is that eye on top of the complaint
the
pyramid.
The eye of enlightenment, Adam.
God.
Now, wait a minute.
Listen to me. How come a guy can't say ass to his old lady about anything? Well, what is up with that? Do you know what I mean? I mean, women come with guys, they say whatever all the time. And when we, and Drew, especially you, but guys in general are like, you know, we say to them, what do you want? What should I wear? What does this look good? That tie looks like crap? All right, I'm going to go back and get a new one. We do that all the time. Women, everything's an attack with women. You guys want to know why we don't talk to you? This is why. We don't feel like we can say anything. Everything's an attack. We can't think about anything but that big ass, but that's the only thing we can't talk about.
You're fat.
And women are constantly like, why aren't we talking? We should talk more. You're not talking enough. Every time I open my mouth, you get offended. Of course I'm not going to talk. Just going to ride it out, and hopefully we'll die together, and then this will be great. Just get to the afterlife. That's my plan.
Guys like direction. So we like when you say, don't wear this, wear this.
Smart people like direction. You know why? Because it's for you. I'm wearing the tie. I would like to know if the tie I've picked out looks like crap. You know why? I'm wearing it. Mm-hmm. I don't look at it as an attack.
No, it's helpful.
That's right. Now, why can't more women take it like guys do? Drew, you look for constant direction from your wife. You welcome it with open arms.
I do welcome it.
So Bill over here, poor Bill, can't say anything about his wife's ever-growing ass because it's coming from him.
Ever-growing.
And he's going to be punished severely for it. So, and ultimately, if either she's going to decide to lose the weight or she's not.
Yeah.
I mean, really think about it.
I think the doctor's another way to go, too, by the way. Contact that physician and say, get her a dietitian. Let's get to work on this.
He calls the doctor?
No,
she's
no,
gonna
I don't know.
This.
Yeah,
you're screwed.
Yeah, I know.
You're screwed.
Yeah.
Going behind her back?
Very tough.
It's got to be her idea.
Yeah.
And what Bill's got to do is Bill's got to really step up. And Bill, I don't believe, has to feel like a jerk for
being concerned about her health.
Let's not overdo it. But, I mean, Bill should not feel like there's an unspoken agreement when you enter this partnership, which is I will keep after myself physically and you will keep after yourself physically. I mean,
people don't do that.
Bill,
you're right.
Bill's not growing a beard down to his waist. Do you know what I mean?
Right,
and looking like ZZ Top.
Right.
I mean, you know, you cut your hair and you go to the gym and you do what you have to do. It's almost a respect, out of respect for your partner and the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And when somebody begins, and not because of a disease or because of childbirth, but when someone starts to get out of control physically, it's a bit of an attack on you and the relationship. If you want to really break it down, as well as themselves. So I think Bill should pipe up, and if she does nothing about it, you know, feel free to move on. That's an attack on the relationship.
Thank you. Adam,
all right,
What is it about?
Let's go get something to eat.
Yeah, what is it about this night that you had 2 hours of sleep last night, you came in here loaded or zombie, now you're wide awake? The night has gotten later, you've gotten more awake.
Yeah, it's called, it's a
rhythms,
cycle. The bottom will fall out in a second.
Okay.
Hey. Love line, everybody. Tom Arnold's going to be in here tomorrow night.
Did you like seeing Carmen?
Hmm?
Did you like Carmen?
Yeah. Mm. She says a little like a little bird. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's so meek in real life.
Yeah, yeah. You don't expect that from her, right?
I think you expect her to sort of burst through.
Bigger than life, yeah.
I picture like a doorway full of beads, hanging beads. She bursts through and the music fires up.
She's gotten more herself over the years. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. She was sort of like always a sex kitten and everything. And now I think she's starting to drop all that. That's what therapy does. It makes you boring.
Yeah. That's the goal.
Therapy makes you comfortable enough to be boring.
Yeah.
That's how I know I've arrived.
Well, no one would doubt that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yap in the microphone just to hear the sound of my own voice.
Well, they would certainly have no misconception of you anything other than boring, so they know you arrived.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, it makes you comfortable.
Good times.
We can talk about therapy for another 15 minutes. It'd be fine with me. I'm that evolved, Drew.
Uh-huh.
Fairy?
Yeah.
Your name is Fairy?
Yeah. Hey.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Fairy.
Oh, my God. This is, like, so awesome.
All right.
Hi.
Hey, you're 17 years old.
What state are you calling from?
California.
All right. What's going on?
Like, a couple of days ago, my boyfriend told me something about, like, I don't know, like, we went up to Mount Soledad.
Oh, Mount Soledad, Adam.
Are you over at Mount Soledad? I was just there.
Really?
Yeah, for Soledad days.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, he gave me a hug, and he was, like, listening to my heartbeat and stuff, and he told me he heard, like, a chirping sound.
A chirping sound?
Yeah. That's, I can explain. Mount Soledad has that thing at the crosswalks.
Oh, yeah,
for
blind people. Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what that was. We have that out here.
I only wish, but...
Yeah. You're chirping.
Like, a couple of days ago, we were in his room, and, you know, stuff was going on, and he told me he heard it again. And he said that it was really weird, and it really freaked him out. And so he told me it was like a heart murmur or something. And I don't know what that is.
I don't know how your boyfriend would know what a heart murmur sounded like, okay? Nor is it really likely that one would be able to hear one without a stethoscope and quite a bit of training.
Uh-huh.
But a heart murmur does not sound like that sound.
Really?
Although if you have a mechanical valve,
that was a Star Trek door.
Replaced your aortic valve or something, it can sound like that occasionally. But
so what exactly is a heart murmur?
Heart murmur is turbulent blood flow through your heart that creates a special sound that doctors are trained to hear.
That was the fakest part about that whole show.
The doors?
The action on those pocket doors. You ever go to a house?
They had guys pulling them.
I know. Yeah. I'm just saying, you go to someone's house, built in the 70s, you have to fight with that pocket door to get it in and out. It's always sliding off the tracks and the guides and everything. This thing's always worked perfectly. fairing.
Most doors in the future are diaphragms anyway.
They're apertures.
Apertures, exactly.
Fairing. Well, it could be a diaphragm. Fairing. Are you you a big fan of Tori Amos?
Not really, but yeah.
You sound like her.
Not really, but yeah.
Yeah, her music's okay.
Okay.
Not a big fan.
With the fairy name.
Yeah.
These are those gold dust moments.
Same. Yeah. Junior producer Lauren.
Heard this.
Was apparently having a dialogue with Tori Amos, who's wants to come in here and enjoys yours truly.
Yours, yeah. You.
Mean truly, yeah. I think she likes Drew, too, but I think I'm...
No, she's preoccupied about you. Apparently, that's all she could talk about. No,
she told you to F off last time she was on air.
Oh, yeah, she did.
Because she was talking about she had a cub. And remember that?
Yeah.
What do you mean she had a cub?
She was talking about how she was a lioness now because she has a child.
Right.
Yeah.
And then
this
made some
post-9/11.
I made some cub remark about when her kid be a cub or something.
You asked her, I think, if she adopted an actual cub or something, and she just blurted out F you at him.
Oh, that's right. That's right. But that's what we have. She's intrigued by me, though.
Yes, she told Lauren in great detail how you need someone to take care of you, and she felt sorry for you.
Well, we got to get... Oh, shut up, Drew. That's turning my victory into a defeat.
The fairies need to look out for you, that's all.
Yeah.
And I said, well, he's got a lot. That already happens with him.
Erica? Well, anyway, we'll get Tori Amos in here soon, and she can spread her love on me
in
person.
Erica.
Erica?
Yeah.
16.
Yeah. I had a question.
Yeah.
My mother is actually an alcoholic, like very heavily alcoholic.
Right.
And I was just curious, like, I've been trying to help her for, like, so long. And I was just wondering, like, what I was doing wrong. Like, she wants to, like, quit drinking and stuff, but...
Wait, you wonder what now?
I'm wondering, like, what I'm doing wrong, like...
You're not doing anything wrong. Your mom's an alcoholic.
Well,
that has nothing to do with you. Whether you were on this planet or not, she would be doing what she's doing.
Well, maybe she's a little bit better. Kid.
You can't make an alcoholic get better, especially not the children.
If she really wants to get better, would it be possible if
she really wants to, but that's going to have to come upon her in her own way, in her own time. That has nothing to do with you. I will tell you one of the things that does catch the attention of an alcoholic, though, is family members who get involved in Al-Anon. Because when you do that, rather than constantly focused on making her better, you will grow away from her and her disease, and she will feel that. And that sometimes gets people's attention and causes them to do what they need to do to get better.
Right.
But nothing else Erica does, unless you have massive leverage with her.
Drew, let me float something here.
Yeah.
Carmen Electra to you guys, was in here. During the break, as Drew likes to do, he likes to take the hotties and he likes to break them down emotionally, then slowly build them back up. But that's Drew's thing. He sees a woman, he uses his cunning and his guile. He's crafty that way. He's a man of passion. He's a man of medicine, but at first he's a man of passion, and he gets into their psyche a little. Carmen was spilling her guts during the break, and they was talking about her mom and bad relationships and that kind of stuff. And it struck me one thing she said, that she thought that she was responsible for her mom's whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were talking to Erica, and Erica her mom, that she was responsible for mom.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking about, as Erica was saying this, about how then later on, you heard my rant 15 minutes ago about how women are constant, what's wrong with you?
Right.
What's wrong with you? You know, when you're saying, you know, man, we want, you know, help us pick this tie out. Tell us what looks good.
Right.
Women get angry when you sort of try to do that to them.
Yeah.
It's an interesting juxtaposition, which is, first you internalize everything. It's just, it's your fault mommy's depressed. It's your fault mommy's drunk.
Right.
And then later on in life, it becomes about, don't tell me about my weight. Don't tell me. It's like taking too much credit where you shouldn't take credit.
Well,
and then going the opposite. It's almost compensation.
Part of that acting out upon you for not wearing the right tie and whatever is really you not being screwed up enough to give me a project.
Yeah,
try to evoke you to do something screwed up, to piss you off.
Here's what I'm saying. I don't think guys internalize, like, if mommy's an alcoholic, guys...
They do, but it's not
don't,
as easy.
Don't take the responsibility
not
for
as
it
easy.
As much. It's like, hey, this bitch is a wino. I'm going to go play ball. For the most part. It screws them up, But I don't think they sit around and go, what am I going to do about this?
Yeah. No, like, no, what am I doing to make this happen?
What am I doing to make an alcoholic? Yeah. What am I going to do to stop?
Yeah.
Get her to stop drinking.
Yep.
That's definitely a woman thing.
But think again about women and what they're doing to the guy when they start harping on him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's trying to turn them into a project.
Right. Michael?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Yeah.
What's up?
You know, you're talking about Dave Navarro has all those nipple rings.
Yes.
Well, I just wanted to know tell you that people shouldn't really wear nipple rings because they can get infections. Like my grandpa has a nipple ring, and he got it when he was young, and he still wears it. And he got this infection in it, and his nipple's all, like, messed up now.
Is your grandfather a pirate? Because that's the only logical explanation I can think for a man of that age having a nipple ring.
Well, what's... what?
No, he got it when he was really
could be
young.
29. How old is your grandpa?
He got it when he was really young?
Yeah, he still wears it.
Yeah, no, I'm saying you're making my point.
Yeah, only pirates a long time ago had nipple rings.
No, I don't think so.
How old is he now?
He's only, like, 80.
He's 80 with a nipple ring?
No, yeah. It's not 80. It's not 80. How old's your mom?
About, like, 30, 35, maybe.
So he must be about 60.
No.
70?
Whose father is he, your mom's or your dad's?
That's my dad's.
How's your dad?
I don't know.
You don't have a rough estimate on your dad's age?
No, not really.
Okay, somewhere between, let's say, 20 and 70?
Probably.
Probably?
Yeah, probably.
How about between 30 and 70?
You don't want to commit to that, though, but there's a fair chance he's between 20 and 70?
I guess, yeah.
There's a pretty good chance.
But there's an off chance that he's either 19 or 71.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
So either he was born after you and before his dad.
Well, seriously, I think he's older than my mom.
Your dad.
Yeah, she got divorced when I was like 2 or 3. So.
All right, buddy. So your grandfather. Now, where did he get that nipple ring? Do you know?
No, I don't even know why he got it. He just said he got it when he was young.
Did he show it to you?
Yeah, once.
Is it just a hoop?
Yeah, it's just a hoop. It's really nasty, too. His nipples are huge.
Oh, my God.
It is...
It's probably from the nipple.
Grand and beautiful.
Was he in a war, your grandfather?
No, it wasn't.
No wars?
No, I'm pretty sure it wasn't.
Prisoner of war?
Did he do any traveling? Did he go to any exotic places?
Yeah, he went to Europe a lot.
Amsterdam.
There's like a... Was he a merchant marine or something?
I don't know. No. I don't know a lot about him.
Okay.
He's my dad's father.
I see. He's your dad's father, so you wouldn't know. Okay, buddy. I didn't know he was your dad's. Yeah, his dad's father. You wouldn't
know. They're divorced, and he doesn't really know his dad.
All right. All right. And when's the last time you saw his nipple?
Yeah.
When?
Yeah.
It was nasty. Like
10. 10.
10, you saw his nipple.
4 years ago.
All right.
I was scared.
All right there, buddy. Take care of yourself, all right?
All right.
I don't know if Michael was a bogus call or not, but he didn't really sweat the details.
I think it was.
But you know what I liked about Michael? For a guy who was doing a bogus call, he had a lot of bravado. Yeah. He wasn't doing any backpedaling. How old's your dad? Nah, I don't know. Your grandfather? 80? 90?
It wasn't bravado.
200?
It was assertiveness. You know, bravado's like, is flippant. He was just persistent.
Well... Yeah, that was sort of stupidity meets assertiveness.
Okay, I'll give it that.
Because there's really, he's assertive. That's what propels him. That's what keeps him moving forward. But the stupid part is the part where he doesn't do any of the math on any of the answers.
Right, right.
He's more focused on moving forward. This is, it's as if...
assertive.
If he did that like a supermarket sweepstakes show, he'd be pushing his cart down the aisle and throwing things over the cart onto the floor and then pushing it further.
Right, right, right.
He's moving forward, but nothing's really happening. He's not sweating the details.
He's stu-certive.
Stu-certive, yeah.
That's good.
All right, want to take a break?
Yes, please.
When we come back, we're going to talk to Angela. She's got a little smell from the crotch. Been on hold for 102 minutes, and I'm guessing that smell's gotten worse while she's on hold. So we'll get a whiff of that after this. Yo, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Oh, yeah. Got myself up at 2:10 this morning.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Bad times. I did Howard Stern this morning from here. And it's 3 a.m. to about 7:45.
Oh, my God. 5 hours.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And I'll tell you, the first thing, I'll tell you what goes when this happens. Your memory goes. Now, your memory goes and your memory of what happens goes.
Right.
I mean, people talk about driving drunk, but go to bed at 1:30, get up at 2:15, and have a glass of juice and driving to work. You don't remember what route you took in.
Yeah.
You know, you don't remember anything about the day.
Right.
You go home, you get home at 8:30 in the morning, you go to bed at 9, you wake up at 11:30 in the morning, you have no idea what happened. It's more so than drugs.
It's kind of like a weird dreamlike quality to it.
Yeah, it's
trying to remember a dream.
It's interesting how your brain works. Your brain is like, hey, listen, you may say I'm awake, but you know what? No. not going along. Oh, you want to take me in the car? Oh, you think we're doing Stern? Oh, good luck.
You're doing it, not me.
Enjoy. Conscientious objector. Enjoy. Yeah. There. Oh, no. Yeah, listen, you pack me up in the skull and take me like Samsonite, but, you know, I ain't going to dance. I ain't dancing. So you're just sitting there. It's like, what do you think, Adam? It's like 4 in the morning.
At least you always fall back. This is why you develop those Indian chants.
Yeah. Hey, it's Adam Carolla from Loveline and Crank Anchors. The brand's like, F you. I'm going to bed. I'm not even here right now.
Yep.
It's nice. And Stern's great, too, because there's like 20-minute commercial breaks.
Oh, so you just, did you sleep during some of them?
No, because you're scared you're going to fall asleep, you know? So you're just sitting in empty. The engineer wasn't even around.
Oh, my God.
I was just sitting here like 4:15 in the morning.
By yourself?
Just sitting here completely alone, not a person in the building.
Oh, my God.
Just sitting here. And Stern going on one of those like 14-minute commercials, and you're just like a... I just started like pacing around. I was like, I'll go check on my car. I'd go like check on my car like every break.
Oh boy.
Oh, it's torture, especially if you like the yap. Angela?
Hi, how are you guys?
Angela.
We're having a little trouble with Angela's
line.
She's
got to be sleeping.
No, she. Hello? I can
there
hear
she
her.
Is. All right.
Anderson didn't pot her up.
Angela.
Hello?
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you guys?
Good. Well, what's up?
Good. I've been on birth control for about a year and a half, I tried the Depo Provera shot.
Uh-huh.
And I only tried it once, and I just got off of it the beginning of August.
Yeah.
My period just ended this past week.
Right.
But I was on my period for about 3 months.
It's not just being that's not being on your period. That is having persistent bleeding from the shot, which is a normal side effect.
Right, which they told me about that.
Right.
So I was okay with that. I knew that nothing's wrong.
All right.
But after that, I've noticed that there's like this smell down there.
I wonder if from where you wear tampons?
Tampons? Yes.
My brain's checked out too.
Yeah, you turn them into tampons. I thought you were trying to sell you timeshares.
You wear tampons? Tampons, yeah. Perhaps from all that time, did you change it regularly?
Yeah, I did. I was really good about that. And there was some days that I just wouldn't even wear them at all just because it was so light.
Right.
It was just like basically spotting. It was kind of...
Mm-hmm. I use a pad on light days.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You should.
Yeah, I use a slim pad because I don't like it messing up my camel toe.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. All right.
You're wearing tampons?
Tampons.
Oh, boy.
Angela, have you been checked out since you had this? Because it's probably a bacterial overgrowth and possibly from wearing the tampon so consistently that's what we're
doing. How about you hop on over to the gynecologist?
There's a cream, Metrogel cream, that works real easily for this kind of thing very often. That may be all it's needed.
You can get that over the counter?
No, you can't, unfortunately.
Hmm.
So that's not too far in the future, I suspect.
Yeah. You know, I like to go nuts about what is sold and what isn't sold, such as crab shampoo.
Yes.
I don't know where I was. I don't know what I was looking at, and I wish I could think of what it was, but I was just walking down an aisle of a store, and I was just looking at, like, road flares, sterno, tequila, and archery equipment, and thought, really? No crab cream, huh?
Yeah.
Buy myself a road, basically buy myself the ingredients to make napalm, and no crab shampoo. No, that would be a very dangerous trend in society if we were to actually kill crabs.
Beth?
Yeah?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing. I wanted to ask you guys two quick questions. First of all, about dildos. I'm 19, and I got my friend a dildo for her birthday, and she really likes it. It was just a joke, but she says I should get one, but I'm kind of hesitant. I want one, but I don't know. I wondered what you guys thought of it.
What do you mean you're hesitant if it's something you want?
Well, I want to buy a dildo, but...
You want a vibrator or a dildo?
A dildo, like... The good ones, you know?
Yeah, something high quality.
Yeah.
Not one of these cheap foreign makes.
What if I buy it and then I would have sex with the guy and the dildo's so much better and I don't want to be disappointed when I have sex, you know?
Are you sure you don't mean vibrator?
Well, vibrator / dildo. They have, like, 2-in-1. They're great, but I mean...
I see you've used them before.
I've never used one before, but I...
But I think you mean vibrator when you're talking about...
I mean vibrator?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, sure, whatever.
That's what you should get. That's a good thing to have.
Please respond to it the first two times I say it, goddammit.
Well, what do you guys think of it?
I think it's a good idea.
It's fine, but you're talking about something that takes batteries, right?
Sure, yeah.
Well, listen, She's ashamed of even talking about it. She doesn't want to get into it.
I understand,
it upsets her to even talk about it.
I need. I'm trying to get some clarity on what she's talking about.
The answer is yes. Of course, it's yes.
Well, I don't know. She specifically
said though was yes. You know,
specifically says dildo, and then I say, do you mean that or do you mean this? And she's forthcoming about it.
When women are having trouble having orgasm, we recommend they do this kind of thing.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do we?
Yeah, we do.
We do.
It's one of the things that
when you
can
say
do,
we, do you mean us or do you mean doctors?
This program.
Oh, okay. All right. And I know where I was, by the way. I was in a hardware store walking down the aisle of poisons.
When?
Which is a place I vacationed a few years ago. A couple days ago. I was looking at stuff that, like, kills gophers. Stuff like poisons that kill large animals. Stuff that kills, like, Kodiak bears and stuff. And I went on a whole aisle just filled with nothing but stuff to kill stuff. And I thought...
good times.
Still can't kill them crabs, huh?
No.
Gophers, snakes, rats, mice, roaches, ants, spiders. Not the pubic crabs. Still not legal for that.
Huh.
Interesting.
Sure.
No answers, huh?
No good ones.
Okay. We'll take a little break. We'll be back. I'm going to go home, look at my calendar, try to figure out what day it is.
All right, good.
All right, and tomorrow night, a guy who I know doesn't know what day it is, Tom Arnold.
You want to do something special on your wedding night. Have you ever licked his butt?
I can't wait.
He's giving out that kind of sage advice. So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
You wearing Tide Pods?
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.